Recording now. All right, good morning everybody, or good evening for some of the folks joining us from across the pond. This is Express Route Fridays with the Cloud Enterprise Black Belt. So happy Friday everybody, and happy Good Friday for some of you. So welcome back to another session where basically this session is to help customers as well as partners help plan, design their connectivity to the Microsoft Cloud using Express Route. So my name is Ron Abalera, one of the Azure Black Belts on the Cloud and Enterprise team. One of the things I focus on is ExpressRoute, among some other things. And joining me is my partners in crime. So we've got Kevin Lopez, Jamie Smidtke, as well as Kevin Sullivan joining us here today, as well as some fantastic guest speakers. So thank you for joining us today. All right, so a couple quick things before we begin. So this is a customer and partner call. So welcome everybody. Because this is a wide variety of different customers, we will be using public information, so there will be no NDA information today. If you are an NDA customer of ours and you have a question, anything from roadmaps, etc., feel free to ping us offline and we'd be happy to help you. Many of you are joining via the Skype bridge, and many of you may be just dialing in. For folks who are able to get into the Skype bridge, feel free to use the IM window throughout the call. So essentially, we mute the audience for the first 40 minutes or so. That way, we can get through all the guest speakers and whatnot. And feel free to just use the IM window in real time, and we'll try to address them at the same time. If not, if you're just dialing in, there is a open Q&A at the very end. So we'll unmute the audience and let folks ask their questions verbally. And please keep in mind that the sessions are recorded. This is for folks who aren't able to join the session and if they want to take a look at the sessions after the fact. So all the materials, the recordings, the decks are going to be available, as well as any sample code that we may be showing, are all provided at this link right here. It's http whack whack aka.ms whack expressroutefridays. So it has sample scripts from the past. All that content is readily available. So today's presentation and the recording will be posted this afternoon. So feel free to take a look at that link later today. All right, so what are we going to talk about today for this Good Friday? So as always, we'll
Hey,
talk
Brian.
about, yes, sir. I'm cutting in and
So
out,
two
so I'll
things.
put it.
You're bouncing in and out a little bit, and I promoted Marissa to
Great.
presenter.
So sorry for folks who are getting choppy audio. Does it sound better now?
Yeah. You're
Okay.
still going in and out a little bit.
Am I going in and out? I apologize, folks. All right, let me see if I can do a couple of things on my network here. All right. So hopefully you can see the agenda, and this is what we'll be talking about today. So as normally, we spend the first few minutes just briefly introducing ExpressRoute, especially if for the new customers that are just starting their ExpressRoute discussions. So we'll talk about what it is. And basically how to get started. And then one of the new things that we're doing today, we're doing my ExpressRoute, it's a new session, or it's a new part of my thing, is basically doing a fact check, since we're doing, basically it's an election year. Figured it would be a fun thing to demystify some of the FUD that's out there. And as always, we do a deep dive topic, and today we've got some Skype program managers joining us. To talk a little bit about the workload Skype for Business, so voice and video on ExpressRoute and some of the best practices around that. We have a special partner spotlight today. It's actually our first service integrator, solutions integrator, and SI partner, which is Nimbo. So we've been talking about connectivity partners in the past. Now today we're actually going to talk about some of the help that you can use from a services perspective and what they can do to help you. And then as mentioned earlier, we'll have an open Q&A at the end of the session. And hopefully my audio is still okay. All right, so I'm
Yeah,
assuming that's
you're good. You're
you're
good
coming in
now.
better now, Ron.
Excellent. All right, so I typically start off these sessions using this analogy, just for the folks who aren't familiar with ExpressRoute. Today, if you don't have ExpressRoute and you're connecting to the Microsoft Cloud, you are using the internet. And I like to call the internet as like that freeway on the left-hand side. Right, so you've got other customers on it, you have no idea what other people are doing on it, and it could be congestion at any given point. So Express Route really is an on-ramp to the Microsoft backbone, which gives you essentially a tollway, which you know takes your traffic off the internet and then rides the Microsoft backbone instead. So because it's a tollway, you know you do pay extra for it, but your experience for your workloads is a lot more predictable. So you know you see at the traffic on the left. At any given times of the day, you could be at a crawl. And some of these drivers, you know, don't want to stay on the freeway, so they take detours. So your traffic may not follow the same path every single time. That's just how the internet works. But with Express Route, you have a little bit more of a guarantee of like, hey, you've got predictable performance. You get to set your bandwidth. You get to set your peer location. So there's a lot more I can't say that word today. But basically, your traffic and the workloads that are supported on it will be a lot better experience. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here later today. So I'm going to turn it over to Kevin, who's going to start it from the what is Express Route and go from there. Kevin, take it away.
Hey, thanks, Ron. So good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. Happy Friday, wherever you're at. And thanks for joining us today. As Ron mentioned, we want to just talk to you, give you a bit of a level set as to what Express Route is. As you mentioned, you know, kind of getting that private dedicated circuit. So you go from your location or your, you know, network through a connectivity partner and then into the Microsoft network. Want to make sure that we highlight that because Express Route is always a sort of three-legged stool. So it's always a customer, a partner, and Microsoft. Partner being, you know, one of our connectivity partners. So if you look at the left of the slide, that's sort of just that basic internet connectivity. You're going through the public internet. And so when you're running bigger workloads or you're running data that, you know, is very important to you and you want to make sure it gets, you know, to its destination in a timely manner but in an efficient manner, and you're having, you know, issues with some of that. So currently maybe you could be using a VPN gateway or, you know, doing something of that nature. And if that's not working for you, then hop on over to the right side, right? Try connecting via Express Route, and you're going to go from your, you know, offices, and your connect your WAN through Express Route into the cloud, again using one of our connectivity partners, and all of our partners are listed up on the, you know, on our website that we'll share with you, and we'll talk through some of that. And so, Ron, can you go to the next one? Thank you. So this one, again, just to kind of reiterate the three different players. So if you look in here, again, starting on the left side of the slide, you got customer, partner, and then Microsoft. And what we like to talk about through here is, and highlight, you know, and illustrate, is that although it looks almost like three different Express Route connections, there actually isn't. So it's actually one Express Route circuit, so that big encompassing one. And what you can connect to is all of the different Microsoft clouds. So if you look at the top, we call that Microsoft peering. So Office 365, CRM Online, Skype, all those Microsoft peering. And then in the Azure PaaS is going to be that public peering. So your public services through Azure, anything that's a public-facing site. And then at the bottom there is your Azure IaaS services. So any of your internal, and we call that private peering. So you often hear, even up on our, again, on our documentation site, which is really more like a user manual. So our documentation site it's a documentation site, but it's really a user manual because it gives you instructions. But you'll see all three of these. And you often hear us say, are you going to connect to public peering, private peering, or, Microsoft peering. And just so you understand the three differences there, the other thing to understand is when you're working with our connectivity partners, they are going to, in many cases, not every case, but they're going to set up separate virtual circuits for you for those. So you have to, you know, understand what you're going to use it for, identify the workloads that are key for you, and then, you know, you're going to have to talk to your connectivity partner to make sure that you let them know what you're going to use it for. And then you're going to set it up, you know, as well through Microsoft in the public, private, and Microsoft peering. You go to the next one. Pricing. So our wonderful pricing model, today, so when a customer goes in and you're going to do that, there's a couple choices. We already talked about, like, kind of choosing your carrier. in many cases, what our teams are geared to ask customers is, which of these partners, you know, again, the partners that are listed up on our website, and that's kind of always changing and evolving, which of these do you want to use? Then the next question, you know, is going to be, you know, what are you going to connect to? You know, what workload? And then you're going to have to answer, what bandwidth size? So, you know, there's sizing models that you could do. When we're talking Azure, it's really kind of, again, you know, working with your Microsoft teams to better understand what you're going to be using in Azure. So if it's a home-built application that you're doing, then we're going to need some information from you. So there's lots of participation that we all kind of have to be jointly involved in to be able to do that. In the Office 365 side, they have some wonderful documentation, again, which can be accessed through that kind of user manual that's up on our ExpressRoute site. That can help you to size and kind of go through the sizing with that. Again, you know, have your Microsoft team work with you on that. The 365 teams can specifically help guide you through, you know, that. The Skype for Business guys, we're going to know, you know, their sizing information. So there's always, you know, there's lots of people and lots of experts that we have to get involved and stay involved from our different sides. So you're going to choose what speed you want, and then you're going to choose if you want to go metered or unlimited. And so what that means is, across the board in both metered and unlimited, you don't pay for ingress. So ingress to Azure is free, but on the metered side, you're going to pay for egress. So anything that you're pulling out and going back towards you, then you're going to pay that metered, the metered monthly cost, and then the cost at the bottom down there based off of your zone. So you got the, you got the three different options there: zone one, zone two, zone three, and they're kind of listed down at the bottom. And if you're going, the rule of thumb is that if you're going to use a circuit more than 60% of the time, so if you're going to, you know, again, that circuit's dedicated to you, so say you choose a 500 megabit circuit, and you know that you're going to be pumping, you know, just 400 meg constantly, but you're going to go up to 500 at times, you know, you may need to burst, you may need to do something, then you'll be able to do that because Microsoft offers, with our dual port or dual circuit, the ability to burst. It's not guaranteed. But remember, it's a dual port. It's a SLA uptime of 99.9%. So you'll be able to do that. So if you're using that over 60% of the time, then you're going to want to go unlimited. And when you go unlimited, then you don't pay, you just pay the monthly cost. So you don't pay any charge for egress. So your ingress and egress is covered under the unlimited. So this is a list of our partner contacts, and they're, again, ever-changing. So we have a majority of partners that are kind of still coming on board. We have more coming on board through other partners. So we have different levels and layers of partners. And what we ask them to do is to set up a distribution list, so where they can go in and pull the information. We could, you know, somebody could send them an email, and they could get to the right team. So if you're a customer and you want to know who is my team from, you know, any of these partners here, you can send an email to that alias, and they will answer it and get you aligned with the right person from their side. If you're a Microsoft person or another partner, you want to work with, say, Nimbo or Proficient or Project Leadership up at the top because you need a systems integrator. That's what that's set up for. And a couple things just down at the bottom while I finish is going to be that we currently ask who it is that the customer is dealing with. So it's a customer choice on partner. We can give information on all of our partners, but Microsoft remains very agnostic as far as, you know, our partner ecosystem goes. And again, last point, we need everybody involved. So we need customer involved, we need partner involved, and we need Microsoft teams involved. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. All right. So this is a workflow that I've shown in the past, but it kind of does help customers go, you know, when they start creating their circuit. There are a lot of different things that are in play, and that's the reason why we always highly suggest that you work closely not only with, you know, your Microsoft counterparts, but with your connectivity counterparts as well. So just as a quick workflow as far as how things are done, there is a, you know, as any networking project will go, that there are some, you know, prerequisites, some planning that needs to happen. So if you've got some of that in place, it makes the process much simpler. So we have a list of the different prerequisites, and I'll actually show you a slide here which tells you some of the information that you need to gather initially. But once you get that network design planned, then you get all the stuff that you need to do with your connectivity partners, because sometimes there could be contracts in place or could be equipment that needs to be procured, etc. Not necessarily the case, but just in case that it is a net new environment. But then you have some specific Azure work that you can do. So regardless if it's just an Office 365 or CRM online, it doesn't matter the workload. Azure is still the underpinnings of ExpressRoute. There are some Azure work that needs to happen to be able to set up the circuit. And there's two different boxes, basically one for what we called our Azure Service Management, our ASM APIs. So there's really two APIs, the ASM as well as our ARM, Azure Resource Manager. Those are two different APIs that you can talk to Azure to be able to create your circuits. So there are some complexities around that depending on the workload. So that's another reason why to make sure that you talk to your Microsoft folks as well on what's the best practice, what kind of workloads do I want to run. And in the past sessions, we've shown you on how to be able to create these circuits both within PowerShell, and the last session that we did, we also demonstrated how you can do it through the new GUI as well on the Azure portal. So you can feel free to look back at those previous recordings on how to step through a lot of that. So once you get your circuit stood up, essentially, it doesn't mean that your data is actually going to start going through. Essentially, what you're doing is you're building, that entryway, that tollway, so to speak, from your network to the Microsoft network, but you still need to allow traffic. So that does entail, giving the service key that it uniquely identifies your circuit to the ExpressRoute partner so that they can complete their side of the configuration, right? And then the last piece is configuring the peering. And that's really, what do I want to enable? In the previous slides where you saw the orange line, the blue line and the white line, et cetera, for the different workloads, that just says, hey, do I want to enable just IaaS, or do I want to enable just PaaS or Office 365? You as a customer will get to pick and choose which ones you want to enable. You can enable all three if you want to, but it's really up to you. And that's really, the part where you start actually letting the traffic go through the tollway. And then lastly, you want to make sure that you test, that connectivity. And part of the reason why, we've invited, the folks like Nimbo to be on this call is that they can provide some of those services to be able to help out with this end-to-end process if you need it. All right. So one of the questions in the IAM window is, what are the requirements? Do I need public IP addresses? So it depends on, the workload. And I mean it by if it's an IaaS workload or if it's a Azure PaaS service or Office 365. I like to think of this as like, okay, are you doing IaaS? Are you doing PaaS? Are you doing SaaS? And this is my little cheat sheet that I hand to customers to kind of let them know. The yellow stuff is what you talk to your network teams. Let's gather this information. Once we have this information, it's much, much simpler to be able to provision that into Azure. So for us, so the ones that are gray or green, it's not something specific to the customer, maybe specific to the partner, or it's just not applicable at all. So notice that, say the public peer PaaS, there's only a couple different things that you really need. But if you're doing Office 365 with the Microsoft peer, it can get a little bit more complex because there's some SNAT involved and stuff like that. All right. So just gather this information. It makes it much simpler to walk through the PowerShell scripts or go through the GUI. But once again, if you want some deeper dives on this, feel free to go to
Hey, Ron, you're dropping
out again.
Sorry. I've got Comcast at home here, so sometimes I need to talk to them again. So let me know. Is my audio back again?
It's still popping a little bit.
Yeah, I'm wondering why. Okay. Well, I apologize, folks. But essentially, these are the variables that you want to go and start off with. So hopefully that's fairly straightforward. And just feel free to interrupt me if my audio keeps cutting out. Or Kevin Sullivan can start doing his little song and dance while my audio reconnects. So anyways, this is...
Yeah, you might need to.
So this is a preview for one of the upcoming discussions that we will have on a future ExpressRoute Fridays. I wanted to make sure folks realize that this is available. This is basically something that so Teo's letting me know, do I need to dial in? Is my audio still cutting out?
Or is you're it a little bit better. Yeah.
For the past 30 seconds, you're better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at my bandwidth here. Something's pegging my network for whatever reason. Hopefully I'm not being DDoSed at the moment, but we'll see. So this is a future session. Basically, if you are looking at building that connection to Azure or building, you know, virtual networks, et cetera, and you're wanting some best practices as far as security design. So one of our folks in Redmond had done a great job, John Orman, built different examples. And here's a workflow that you can step through and say, hey, if you are only looking to do Azure only, or if you're looking to do a hybrid setup between on-premises and Azure, or are you doing site-to-site only, or are you doing ExpressRoute? If you look at example number six, adding a hybrid connection with ExpressRoute, this is a very common pattern that we see. If you take a look at that, it'll step you through some of the designs, and we will do a further deep dive with John here in a couple weeks, so please stay tuned to that. But I want to make sure people know that this is available, so check out that link above on some of the best practices on designing your network. All right. So this is a election year here in the United States, so I figured it would be a fun thing to do a little fact check around ExpressRoute. Because, you know, we as an ExpressRoute team, we do run into a lot of things that we have to clarify for our field and for our customers. So we want to make sure we demystify the FUD out there. So let's go ahead and begin. And this could be something that we do, you know, week to week if people find it valuable. But we've taken some of the top three things that we've at least run through maybe this week or in the last couple of weeks. But let's go through that. All right. So the first fact check that we're going to do is that, hey, you know, I keep hearing ExpressRoute can be done in one day, right? I can just connect my network to the Microsoft cloud and be done with it, right? So can that be done? So what's the reality? Yeah, mostly true, but misleading. Why is that? All right. So as I mentioned, there's a huge amount of network planning and design that has to happen. Essentially, you know, you're marrying your network to the Microsoft network. And, you know, when a marriage happens, there's two different parties that you need to make sure that, you know, they're all on the same page. And there's a lot of planning that is involved with that. So when you hear the term ExpressRoute can be done in one day, the actual provisioning of the circuit, like if you do it through the portal or if you do it through PowerShell, that in itself can take just a couple of minutes. You can just take my script that you see on ExpressRoute Fridays, that link, and you could run it, but that doesn't mean that your traffic is going to start working. So that's where you still have to configure your partner network. You need to make sure that you talk to your network and security folks, open up the right firewall ports and you know, get the firewall rules and all that. So all that takes time, and you still need to make sure that the workload owners, you know, are ready to move that workload onto ExpressRoute as well. So there's some governance things. There's some approvals you may need to do internally with your organization to make sure that end to end this thing is working. So can it be done? The ExpressRoute side can absolutely, but that doesn't do you any good if the traffic doesn't flow. So it's mostly true, but it's very misleading. All right. Fact check number two. I've run into this one many times. Hey, you know, I use AWS too. They have Direct Connect, which is basically their competitive version of ExpressRoute. It's easier. I can get that up in a day and all that kind of stuff too. So what's the reality? What is it? It's debatable. Why? It's got the same problems too, right? It's because it's still a network. You still have to, plan the network design. You've got for Direct Connect, you've got to find a Direct Connect facility. So it's funny, you take a look at the user guide right there. They've got stuff like, hey, you need a specific fiber cable that you need to use and stuff like that. You still have ASN numbers to gather and all that. So when you hear that, hey, AWS is easier to connect, that's not really true. So you still have to go through a long list of prerequisites. You still have to do some physical infrastructure. You still have to do network planning and designing, just the same things that you do. And this is just a standard networking thing that, you know, that network teams that have been doing through decades, right? So there's some planning involved. All right. And another thing too that maybe is a misperception by some is that whenever you do Direct Connect, they only connect to EC2 or S3 or their VPC. So essentially, you're only connecting to their infrastructure as a service workloads. ExpressRoute really gives you access to essentially three different clouds. You can connect to IaaS, PaaS, or our SaaS offerings. So that does add a little bit of complexity to the mix, and that's maybe why some of the, you know, things may be misconstrued as far as, hey, you know, there's more work to be done, but essentially you're making three different connections. So that's why it may look like it's a little bit more complex. But at the end of the day, it's still network planning and designing. It's, you know, when I hear, hey, I can get this done in one day, that's mostly not true. All right. So the last check, Office 365. Scott for Business, CRM Online experience is better. All right, so what is better? What does that experience mean? So what's the reality? It depends. You know, the experience that you have from a performance standpoint, you know, maybe better, but maybe the setup is, you know, maybe it's a little bit longer. So what's the reality check? So number one, double check to make sure that the workload that you are looking at is even supported. So most of the stuff on Office 365 is supported on ExpressRoute, but maybe some of them are not. For example, CDN and YAML are not quite on ExpressRoute yet. So you are not going to see anything different from an ExpressRoute perspective there. Right, and then we have our Skype folks here who will be talking here in a couple of minutes as well. They'll talk about, you know, some of the quality of service that you get with ExpressRoute. So your experience there could actually get better. But also the experience for setting it up may be a little bit more complex because essentially you're setting up, you know, like a parallel path. You've got, you know, you got internet on one side that's already configured, but then here's a, think of it as like a private internet or a private connection. So you've got to think about those two different paths. So you're still going to have to think about, you know, firewall rules and some of the networking things. So the setup itself, you know, but once that's done, then once your traffic is flowing, you know, that's where your real experience comes in as far as that workload. So it's depends. It really, you know, depends on the partners that you use and going through the right, you know, planning processes and all that. All right, so we're going to introduce our esteemed colleagues from the Skype group. So both Doug and Hal are joining us here today to talk a little bit more about running Skype for Business on ExpressRoute. So Hal and Doug, please take it away.
Thanks, Ron. Hal is going to kick this off with the first section talking about some media call flows, and then I'll take the last half of our section with just a quick discussion about a few commonly asked questions. I'll do a little bit of discussion about how to configure QoS, and then point to a few references for some other frequently asked questions about bandwidth planning and firewall and things like that.
Great. Feel free to take over presenter, or if you just want to let me know, I can advance the slides as well.
Okay. Let's see. I think I have a presenter. Great. So, how I'll advance the slide?
Sure. Hi. Good morning, guys. I'm a program manager for Skype, and I own the sort of making our network as good as possible. For delivering the real-time media traffic for Skype and for Skype for Business. So let's jump right into the topics we want to cover. Doug, can you move to the call flow?
Yes.
So before we talk about the ExpressRoute, I just want to set a little bit context about what are the traffics that will benefit or will not benefit from Skype for Business perspective from having an ExpressRoute connection. So if you think about, can you advance to the next slide?
You know what, I guess I was only advancing my view. Just a second.
Okay. I'm going to talk about three main scenarios that Skype for Business Online covers in terms of real-time media traffic, which is, as you guys know, that real-time VoIP and video and, in our case, application sharing workload are very sensitive to the quality of the network. So the first scenario that is very common for Skype for Business is, you know, I just want to talk to another person direct. Whether that's a voice call, whether that's an audio and video call, or whether that's I'm doing both of those while I'm sharing my screen with the other party. So in this picture, I draw out on a very, very high level how packets would flow. So the black arrows you see on this picture is basically our signaling flow. That is basically the necessary handshake between the users and the server and between the users to basically establish a session. Okay. That's signaling, and that is less subjective to, we can have a little bit of a delay. We can deal with, that. The purple lines, in this case, the media actually, flows if you are sitting inside, your crop net. And, in this case, media will actually flow directly between the two users. There's no need for the media to come all the way through internet or express route to our network and come back to, the other person because you're sitting next to each other or you're sitting, from the next building to the guy you're calling with. So in this case, express route will not the media traffic will not benefit from express route, but it will benefit from your corporate network being good. Your Wi-Fi have little packet loss. It will benefit tremendously from that. Moving on to the next scenario. So this is a variant of the first scenario. In this case, one of the two parties are sitting outside of the corporate network. But in this case, Skype client still try to set up the media traffic between this two person if it can. Okay, there's in this case, obviously, there's firewall traversal included. Depending on how strict the firewall configuration is, this is different from customer to customer. The media traffic will land in this picture, exactly like what I show in this picture. In this case, media will still flow between these two users directly. But in many other scenarios, these two clients actually need a little bit of help from our servers because they cannot, the firewall blocks them to internal user to talk to a user on the internet directly. So in this case, I didn't draw it out, but the media traffic from, in this case, Roy, from the internal side will actually travel over the internet or the express route to the edge of our server, our service, where we run a relay server there. And relay server would use a set of protocols to help the customer to traverse the internet. So in that case, the media traffic will flow from Roy to over the express route to our relay server and then to Bob on the internet. In this case, in that particular case where we need the relay help, the express route obviously will help. The quality of the express route and the customer network quality will help with the good quality of this audio and video call. Let's talk about the scenarios that we're currently in, which is conferencing. Okay, conferences. Can you go back one more slide? Conferences for Skype for Business actually definitely will be hosted in our cloud. And one interesting thing to talk about is that conferences, all the because we need to do rendezvous, people need to find the same conference, and also we need to do audio mixing and determine, you know, which is the right video to show to all the users at any given time. So a conferencing server is needed. This is why that if you see the media flow on this picture, the media from all the users actually flow from them to our cloud service, and our cloud service does whatever the mixing, whatever the switching, and sends the media that the user should see or hear back to each of the users. And in this case, ExpressRoute will help tremendously in terms of having the right quality of service. And another thing before I move on to the actual quality of service topic is that this is a very simplified drawing. This shows one location, but in reality, the customers are in probably are multinational companies, and they're in multiple locations. The rule of thumb in terms of thinking about ExpressRoute is that, and by the way, this is the same for Office 365 overall. We require the inter-region routing, meaning that we want to be able to, because think about this case, you have, for Skype for Business, you definitely have the need to talk between the users from your different offices. When any user hosts a conference in a particular region, the users from other region needs to be able to reach our cloud service in a different region. And this works for between two companies. That's exactly how it works as well. So ExpressRoute Premium add-on is actually included as part of the Office 365 SKU for those customers who have more than 500 licenses. But anyways, in terms of planning, our general rule of thumb is that think about getting the traffic from your users to our network as soon as possible. So in other words, think about if you have multiple locations, think about local ExpressRoute connections instead of backhauling the traffic all the way, say, to US. And in that case, the network quality might suffer in terms of latency and packet loss. So let's talk about the quality requirements. This table actually shows, so we did a very extensive analysis of the network aspect, what contributes to the good or bad quality, right? There are many things that are happening. There are many clients and servers in the whole media pass, depending on the scenario, that introduces a delay that might lose packets. There are many different network segments in the media flow as well. Each of the network segments contributes to the success of the good quality. This particular table is actually very important for our customers to think about. This is about from the any of the clients to the edge of our network, and in this case, to the closest edge of our network. From the ExpressRoute perspective, think about the closest ExpressRoute connection points. And this is sort of the budget that we can give for that particular leg in terms of having a good quality. A caveat is that this leg actually can include the end client access, which is maybe Wi-Fi. This is something that I'm on right now. Your corporate LAN, and then it might be traversing over a WAN connection as well, depending on your setup and how you decide to do ExpressRoute. But in any case, you want to work with your network service providers for both your internal network and for ExpressRoute to try to meet those targets. This is sort of we come up with those numbers based on a lot of experience that we have with our customers with tuning our media. If you can reach this kind of latency, for example, in the same continent, you can get to our closest ExpressRoute connection point within less than 50 milliseconds. That's one way. with our data, with the data that we saw currently from Sky 4 Business, in general, you will have good audio quality. Given that you have actually other good things as well, things like you have good devices, you're speaking in an extremely loud environment, and so on and so forth. Okay. So before I hand off to Doug, from the Sky 4 Business perspective, including ExpressRoute, my advice to our customers are basically think about first network quality, specifically about from each of my sites to Microsoft's network. Second, bandwidth. You need to think about ensuring enough bandwidth, we have bandwidth calculator and things like that published on the internet. Making sure for the workloads that you're considering have enough bandwidth. Third, think about peak load. Think about what do you do when there's network congestion? And in this case, quality of service, QoS, actually becomes very important in terms of prioritizing especially audio traffic, real-time audio traffic. And that is exactly what Doug will talk about. Doug?
Great. Thanks, Hal.
Take it away.
And we are running kind of short on time, so I'm going to run through this section really quickly. I do leave at the end of the slides with a few references that folks can click on afterwards, and I'll stay on so we can answer questions afterwards. But the short thing to know about with QoS is QoS is a way using DSCP to mark packets so that you can have different priority streams, so that, for example, your voice traffic, which is the most sensitive to delays and packet loss, that the voice traffic gets through as a priority, whereas something like, say, file sharing or file transfer, that can get through at a slower priority and it can afford a little bit more packet loss because it'll just retransmit. So QoS is a critical aspect of having great real-time communication for Skype. And there's a couple ways of managing QoS. We can manage it via endpoints and via network ACLs. In interest of time, I'm not going to read through all of the points there. I am going to jump to this slide that shows one of the ways that we use to identify the different streams is looking at the source port range. So when we say setting up network ACLs or setting up group policy, basically what we're doing is we're saying, hey, on this port range, for example, 5020 through 5039, I know the traffic on that range is going to be audio because that's what the range that Sky 4 Business uses. So I'm going to mark that as the highest priority DSCP 46. The table lists a bunch of other media types that could be used and could be tagged so that you can have three, four different bandwidth queues, if you will. And that's something you can work with your network engineers and your system engineers to set up those policies. Ran into a problem. Does anyone still see the slide deck?
Yep, we see your links, for me. Doug?
Okay, perfect. Yeah, great. So what I've left with here is a couple links that answer some of the most commonly asked questions I hear when folks are asking, hey, what are best practices for Skype for Business? First of all, we've got the first link is for a general primer on ExpressRoute for Skype for Business. It talks about QoS. It's got references to our bandwidth calculators, and it even walks through an example company. We call it the Dewey case study. Dewey is just a fake company, but it walks through understanding them. Great first read. It's about 3 pages long, roughly. Great first read for anyone just kind of priming themselves on Skype for Business and ExpressRoute. We have a couple other links that are, you know, much more kind of execution ready or execution oriented, if you will. You're going to need to plan your bandwidth for when you set up ExpressRoute. That means both on the Azure ExpressRoute side and on your network side, you know, your network service provider side, make sure that those provide enough bandwidth for what you need. Within O365, several of the services have created bandwidth calculators. Quick note, it's not officially announced yet, but we will be updating the Skype for Business bandwidth calculator in the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that. It's going to have some improvements related to calculating traffic destined for O365, especially voice traffic. And finally, I get a lot of questions about, hey, how do I configure my firewall? Well, the short answer to that, the one that I have time within the context of this meeting, is to point you to the last link there, which is the O365 URLs and IP address ranges. What we've done there is, for all of the O365 services, we've documented URLs and IP addresses that we use, and that way you can make sure that your firewall rules or proxy files, if you use those, account for the destination addresses that we need you to be able to reach. And that, with that, that's it for the Skype side. Right. I'll hand off to the next person, and I'll stay on the line, you know, afterwards for Q&A.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Hal. That's fantastic. All right, we're going to switch it really quickly to our SI partners with Nimbo, and I've had the pleasure of working with them for the past couple of years. So turning this over to Bill and Marissa. Bill, take it over.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
You can hear you great.
There we go. Cool. Okay, so I'm presenting. So, yeah, so we just wanted to talk a little bit about Nimbo and what services we offer with Microsoft, and so we'll just jump right into it. But, you know, we are a leading, U.S., hybrid cloud professional service provider. We have a deep focus in the enterprise space. We've had a long-standing relationship with you know, several cloud providers, specifically with Microsoft. We are, you know, a gold partner in three different competencies. We've been recognized pretty extensively from Microsoft for our services. I believe it was the year before last, we were recognized as the Azure Partner of the Year for the East Coast region. We're also recognized on, if you go to the ExpressRoute website, we're on there with a direct link as the recommended system integrator. And then we were also acquired by Equinix in the beginning of 2015. Excuse me. So one of the big benefits that we bring to the table is that we're a world-class vendor-neutral professional services. So we have a very, very large partner network that we work with so that we can deliver those end-to-end network capabilities. And you get a lot of choices with that, right? We're not going to push you to one particular thing. We're going to open up our catalog and say, okay, what's the smartest option for you guys? What's going to give you the best level of service? And again, it's just all about choice and flexibility. And because of that, we can accelerate your cloud adoption. So we can, you know, make different decisions from our network based on time to market and what kind of speed you need and all of those different components. So what ends up happening is we become a sort of global, one-stop shop for, you know, getting you connected with the cloud and then also, getting you to leverage the cloud and, you know, consuming all of the services. So a little bit about my team that's on the phone. I am Nimbo's CTO. I've been doing this for a very, very long time. I'm also the head of delivery here. So all the consultants that we have here, you know, I build that team and the training programs, and we run lots of technical events. We have, you know, meetups that we do with the Microsoft team. We do lots of cloud evangelism. And you know, at the end of the day, we're looking to just help clients solve their problems. It's kind of turned into a point in our society where everyone's an IT company. And so we're trying to help people get back to the basics and say, let us help you do those kinds of things. Let's push you to Azure and offload some of that responsibility and let you get back to doing what your job actually is. Marissa is my partnership manager. She handles the Microsoft relationship entirely. So all of that communication back and forth with Microsoft and to us, she handles that whole relationship. And then we also have on the phone Tom Ricardo, who is one of my cloud architects, and he specializes in the enablement and connectivity packages that we offer, specializing in Azure Office 365, ExpressRoute, that all of that connectivity piece there. So we'll just quickly talk about our core services. So we basically have four tiers, and it kind of runs the gamut of soup to nuts, getting everything accomplished to go into the cloud, right? So our first package is the assessment package, where we offer things like our cloud foundation package, where we go in and help you set up your Azure subscription. We have cloud readiness assessments, where we go through and say, okay, these things are good candidates, they should move to the cloud, these things are not, they should stay behind. We do application and server readiness assessments to see what's good fits, to see what should go first, what should go later. And then we also do, cloud roadmaps. So talking about different pieces where we say, okay, look, this is how we can get you first to market, and let's get your VPN connectivity set up while we procure, everything to make an ExpressRoute possible. Let's see if we want to do multiple different sites. Let's see how we're connecting those sites. Are we having global presence? Is there, multi-region? All of those sorts of things in that package. And then we sort of jump right into the enablement portions, which are going through and creating that. So setting up your Azure subscriptions and creating, express routes and setting up the virtual networking components and the security components and, starting to build out any, if you need web application firewalls or, all that stuff, right? So we're getting all that set up, and then we go to the migration phase, which is either it's kind of three different phases, but essentially some of our clients are interested in doing lift and shifts, which is where we just take clones from their, let's say Hyper-V cluster and then moving those up into Azure. And then we also have a greenfield component where we, because of that assessment piece that we're doing, we say, okay, let's just leave that the way it is. Let's not inherit any of those potentially negative things. Let's rebuild the whole environment in Azure, reconfigure it and leverage paths where it makes sense and put everything else on, IaaS where it's necessary. And then, we also support doing new code. So sometimes clients will come to us and say, hey, we're thinking about building this new application. We don't have a home for it. We don't have, whatever. Can you work side by side with us and let's go straight to PaaS and let's put our services out there and let's have them hosted entirely by Microsoft. And then the fourth tier of that is once you're in, that's all fine and dandy, but then we need to start thinking about reducing cost or investment sizes and saying, okay, what are we doing with these instances? Let's look at the memory and the CPU. Let's make sure that they're sized correctly. Let's make sure that things that can be auto-scaled are doing that properly, doing things like turning the servers off at night, save on cost if we're not chasing the sun with a, sort of development cycle, and just looking at that pricing to say, okay, what are you going to do in the long term? Is there, how can we help you work with Microsoft to, make better use of what you have in Azure? And the kind of generic answer on what do we do with Microsoft is everything. So we do end-to-end solutions with anybody that's seeking to do anything on Azure, and we leverage that with those four components that I just spoke about, right? And one other package that we've been that's been quite a hot topic is the Azure Resource Manager upgrade. So converting from an Azure Classic to an Azure Resource Manager model is, we have a bunch of different packages with various levels of support to help you transition, right, from having conversations with our team to us being fully deployed and saying, let's help you migrate those workloads, let's help you rebuild, ExpressRoute and any sort of connectivity that you have, and along the ways, like, bringing up different pieces like, oh, hey, this from here to here, there's now these new features, there's these better options, these things are easier, let's go ahead and take advantage of that while we're doing the migration instead of kind of doing it over and then worrying about optimizing it later. We're also very heavily involved, obviously, with the ExpressRoute. So we do all the different kinds. So we are going to do anything like on the private side where if you want to connect your Azure virtual networks, any of the sort of PaaS offerings, air quotes, sort of public offerings there that we want to do. And we also support the Office 365 Skype for Business, and then kind of as I mentioned before, but there's a link that'll take you to the website. And I think now that there's three different providers in the U.S. that can support ExpressRoute, but so we're on there as a main component. The next piece is the customer insight. So I just wanted to briefly go over a specific client that we have been working with. They're a global engineering company, and we've been helping them. Sorry, navigating slides. So we've been helping them. They basically came to us and said, look, we need to get into Azure. We have, I think it's 8 different locations worldwide. We want to connect each one of those with an express route. We want to create this backbone to every single thing, all of our data centers. And, I don't know why I did that. So things that they wanted to do was they wanted to move their HPC high-performance compute workloads up into Azure so that they could burst out. They have, thousands of servers that they burst out to that they're hosting on-site, and so we moved that into Azure, which was perfect. It's a perfect scalable workload that goes out there. They needed the, express route so that they could have the proper amount of bandwidth and have a controllable, predictable latency. They're also doing a lot of stuff around IoT, so they have a lot of their devices that are hopped onto their network, going up through the express route, pushing that data into Azure. And the main benefits for them was we held their hand the whole way through. So we sat down with their team, we figured out what they wanted to do, we came up with a migration plan, we did several POCs with them so that they could utilize the services that are there, get a feel for it, and say, okay, wow, yes, this particular service over ExpressRoute is a way more enjoyable way to do this. And so, we like I said, we set up 8 different express routes to different locations. We had all their virtual networking set up. We, a handful of virtual machines. We're doing IoT with them. We're doing HPC bursting with them. Now we're on the sort of the optimization piece of saying, okay, how can we scale these down? Do these need to be as big as they are? Like, what's the kind of on-demand computing? And, for them, now they have a sort of centralized view to say, I can see all of my accounts, all of my regions, all of the in one account. And so they're, very, very happy with this total project outcome. And contact us info. And then I think we go to Q&A now?
Yeah, that's right. So thanks, Bill, and our Nimbo friends. So all right. So right now I'm going to go ahead and unmute the audience. So for folks who aren't on the Skype bridge but may just be dialed in, I know we're running a little bit late, but we do have a couple of minutes left. We have been answering a lot of the questions in the IM window in real time. So if there's anything that we've missed in the IM window, or if anyone just wants to get off of mute, please let us know. This is your time. We want to hear from our customers. Anybody brave enough? Let's see.
Yes.
Kevin and Jamie, any questions in the IM window we need to ask?
I have a question. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Great. Can you talk a little bit about what types of ability there is to do an express route health monitoring within the portal, to determine if the circuit is up or down or if it's having problems, and how you would go about actually setting that up, please?
Yeah, great question. So actually, the last Express Route Fridays, we gave folks a tour of the new GUI. So that's in preview right now. So previously, everything has been PowerShell based. So you can get circuit information, you can get status, you can see what the provisioning state is for your Express Route circuit via PowerShell. You could also do that through the portal now. But it's not completely general available yet, but most customers should be able to access it through the portal. So that's where you can start seeing circuit information. We can see which peers have been enabled and that sort of thing. When it comes to like network flows and stuff like that, that's probably where your carrier is going to be a better resource, because that's really their main business, being able to tell you maybe more real-time analytics as far as what's going on, current bandwidth and all that kind of stuff. You know, we are working on building that to be a little bit more streamlined, so you can have some of that information in our portal. But right now, the portal is brand new. It's literally been just something we've added in the last couple of weeks or so. But feel free to take a look at that, and hopefully that'll give you at least some basic information as far as, you know, the circuit, you know, status and all that.
The one thing I'll add. The one thing I'll add to this is Kevin Sullivan, and I don't have a timeline to share for you or therefore any details, but I do definitely know, if you're familiar with our OMS suite of solutions, specifically the log analytics side of that, there are some plans on the roadmap to provide, you know, because we're already doing some wire data and that's evolving, and there is some future plans to include and incorporate specific things as far as networking in Azure and ExpressRoute as well.
Well, Kevin, while we have you on the phone, there's actually a question from Aiden.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah,
will
perfect.
There be an OMS solution for ER, so that's perfect.
I wasn't paying attention to the IM. So, yeah, but at the moment, even under NDA, there's nothing to share because it's not been shared with me, but I anticipate soon.
Well, we lost you, Kevin.
Okay, thank you.
We do anticipate. All right. So I guess while we try to get Kevin back on audio, any other questions that we missed on IM or anyone else want to get off of mute? Okay. If not, I know we're at the top of the hour, so thank you for everyone who's stuck around. I know we've had a lot of content today, and we do shift content from week to week because there's just so much to talk about, you know, the cloud and the connectivity between, you know, your premises and the cloud. So as I mentioned, this recording will be available later today. The deck will be available as well. So you can see all the contact information, all the details that was presented today at aka.ms. WAC Express Route Fridays. So once again, thank you for attending. Hope you have a great weekend, and then we'll see you next time in 2 weeks. All right, take care.